Thank you, Brother Joe. Let me ask those of you who can to please stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Today we're going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. And through him you believed in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord, I pray that as we come to the portion of this service where we meditate and reflect on the Word of God, that, Lord, that your Word would accomplish what you have sent it out to do, and that it would produce fruit in each of our lives. Prepare, God, our minds for action. For we make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate the greatest event in human history, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that if you and I want to experience Easter in all of its resurrection power, we have to make preparation for Easter. And so we have 40 days of prayer and fasting. And so I hope you've been doing that. If you haven't, you can start now. It'd be better to have 20 days than to have no days, okay? If you started and you fell off the wagon, get back on it, okay? We want to get ready for God's work in our life for Easter. But I don't know of a better way to prepare for Easter than living a holy life. And so today we're going to be looking at what that means. The Forbes magazine contacted the Zogby organization to do a poll in America. And here's what they ask. They ask, how would you like to be remembered? What do you want your life to be best known for? And they gave some answers on there that you could choose from. Your intelligence, your good looks, your sense of humor. and on the list went down. You know what the number one answer? People said, this is what I want to be known for. Over 50% of the people checked this off. And the answer was being authentic. That is being real. We live in a world. It's all made up about spin, and what people really want to be known for is not the spin, but for what is real. From 1979 to 1981, the United States Treasury produced a coin called the Susan B. Anthony dollar. It did not go over very well. They made tons of these things, and by the way, if you have one now, they're not worth much. Because they made so many of them. But you see, people didn't want them. People didn't accept them. They never became popular. And so the government did research, said, well, you know, why does nobody want these? And folks said, well, they look so much like a quarter that it's confusing. In other words, what they were saying is, if it's going to be a dollar, it ought to look like a dollar. It ought not look like a quarter. Now, folks, here's what I want you to take away from that. If you're a born-again child of God, you ought to look like a Christian. You ought to walk like a Christian. You ought to act like a Christian, because when you don't, the world is confused about who you are and what you're all about. You know what I've discovered? There's so many people inside the church, and they live just like the world. You can't tell any difference between them. But listen, when God saves you and he comes into your heart, he changes you. You're not the same old person. You don't live the same old way. Reminds me of this woman. She was tailgating this man. Now, none of you women would ever do that, I know. And, you know, she's tailgating this fella, and he comes up on a traffic light. It turns yellow, and he slams on the brakes. Well, he could have made it through the light, but it was a crosswalk, and he's afraid, you know, he might run over somebody. Well, this woman, she got caught behind him. She had to slam on brakes, and she was irate. She began to scream and to curse and to flip him off with the bird. I mean, she's just a ranting and a raving, road rage. Until there's a tap on the window. And she looks up, and it's a police officer. He said, ma'am, could I see your driver's license? He said, ma'am, would you step back here in the automobile with me? Next thing you know, she's handcuffed. She's taken to the police headquarters. She is fingerprinted and photographed and held there in a cell for 4 hours. And finally they come in there and the police officer says, ma'am, I'm sorry. There's been a big mistake. You're free to go. Said, well, I want to know, why did you arrest me to start with? Said, well, ma'am, I came up behind you and you're fussing and cussing and screaming and you flipped the man off. And I'm looking at the back of your car. And there's a bumper sticker that says, what would Jesus do? There's a license plate that says, choose life. There's a cross hanging down from the rearview mirror. There's a chrome-plated Christian fish symbol on the trunk of the car. Ma'am, I thought the car must be stolen. The truth of the matter is that you can wear your Christianity out on your sleeve all day long. But folks, if you don't live it, it don't mean a thing. The Bible says here, prepare your mind for action. Well, how can we do that? Number one, I must be connected to a holy Lord. Notice here what it says in verse 13. We're to choose the grace that comes from Jesus Christ. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Christ is revealed. Now you see, we're talking today about being holy. And when I talk about being holy, I'm not talking about wearing your head, hair up in a bun on your hair and going around and looking a certain way. I'm not talking about a certain denomination. I'm not talking about a certain style of worship. I'm talking about how you live, okay? And by the way, just let me just say this. There are so many people out there today and says, well, if you're going to reach a lost and dying world, you got to be relevant. You got to identify with those folks. Can I tell you something? You don't have to bring yourself down to the world's level to witness to the world. I love what Vance Hefner said. Vance Hefner says, I don't have to dress up as a clown to witness to a circus. understand, you don't have to dress like the world and talk like the world and act like the world in order to witness to the world. You see, what you have to do is you have to live a pure and holy life if you want the world to listen. But you can't live a pure, holy life by yourself. You can't leave this place today and say, all right, I am committed to be a holy person. It won't happen. You see, you got to be connected to a holy person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we got some musical instruments over here that run off of electricity. And you want me to tell you what? If you don't plug it up to the outlet and let the electricity come in, it will not work. Well, you and I got to be plugged in to Jesus Christ and let His holiness come through Him into you in order for you to be holy. You see, it's not by human works. It's not by human effort. A lot of folks are trusting in ritual. They're trusting in rules. They're trusting in religion when they ought to be trusting in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then the second thing is I will contemplate Christ's coming. I love how the good God's Word translation translates verse 13. It says, therefore, your minds must be clear and ready for action. Place your confidence completely in what God's kindness will bring you when Jesus Christ appears again. Let me tell you, one of the things that help you live a holy life is to realize Jesus is coming back. And live your life that He's going to come back while you are alive. I got a couple of quotes here I want to share with you. Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist of his day, says, I never preach a sermon without thinking that possibly the Lord may come before I preach another one. G. Campbell Morgan said it this way, I never begin my work in the morning without thinking perhaps Jesus might interrupt my work and begin His. I tell you, if we lived every day like Jesus was coming that day, we'd live a different lifestyle. As a matter of fact, there's a passage in the prophet of Zechariah. It talks about what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back. And can I tell you what it's going to be like when He comes back? It's going to be holiness, folks. Look here what it says in Zechariah 14:20. On that day, holy to the Lord will be inscribed on the bales of the horses, and the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like the sacred bowls in front of the altar. Jimmy, do you understand what that's going to be like? When Jesus comes back, the pots back there in the kitchen are even going to be holy unto the Lord. It said the bales on the horses. Now, folks, we don't ride horses. We ride automobiles. So I believe if it were spoken today, it would say, holy to the Lord is going to be on your horn in your car. You understand that the characteristic when Jesus comes back is going to be a holy people living in a holy land, living a holy lifestyle. Now, if that's going to be what it's like when He comes back, why aren't we living that way now? I'm going to tell you a sad story from my teenage years. I'd never been to church. I didn't have a Bible. I didn't know anything about God. I was 15 years old and I was spending the night with a friend, and his parents were out on the town. And so, you know what? We had a party there at their house. Well, we had this big party, had all of our friends over. We're doing things that we shouldn't be doing. We make an awful mess. And somewhere about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, the guy that a house that we're at, he says, you know what? My parents will be home after a while. We need to clean this mess up. And so we started cleaning the mess up. Well, guess what? The guy got sick, started throwing up. You see, he'd been drinking things he shouldn't have been drinking. And so he told me, he said, I want you to run up here to the store and get me some Pepto-Bismol. Now, I'm only 15 years old. So I go out there and I get in his daddy's truck. I run up to the convenience store. I buy some Pepto-Bismol. And guess what? Before I get back to his daddy's house, I get pulled over by the police. You see, what we were trying to do is we were trying to get ready. We were trying to get things and cover up what we had been doing. But guess what? Got caught anyhow. Well, listen, Jesus is coming back, folks, and you might be covering it up now. You might be fooling your spouse. You might be fooling the church. You might be fooling everybody else, but you're not fooling God. Listen, He's coming back. If you're going to live a holy life, you got to understand He can come back any time. And then number three, I will consider God's character. In Isaiah 6 and verse 3, and they, that's the angels, were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." Let me ask you something. Do you believe God's a loving God? We just sang about that, didn't we? God's love and His mercy. Do you believe God's gracious and forgiving? Do you believe God is all-knowing? Do you believe God is all-powerful? I do. But the angels around the throne of God, notice they're not singing love, love, love. They're not singing grace, grace, grace. They're not singing power, power, power. They're singing holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. When you understand that the character of God, He is a holy God, and if you're a part of His family, that means you ought to live a holy life. A military general conquered a country, and after he conquered the country, he had the king and the queen killed, executed. They had an only child, a son, a young prince, and instead of killing him, he took a vile, evil, wicked woman and said, "Here, I want you to raise this boy, and I want you to raise him to be the vilest, most wicked man on earth." And so she took this young prince in there, and she began to tempt him with all kinds of things of this world. And then finally he just said to her, he said, "Listen, you can be mean to me, you can beat me, you can even kill me. But I want you to know I am a prince, I am a child of the king, I will never be you." Folks, that's how we should feel. That is, I'm a prince, I'm a princess, I'm a child of the king, and I will never be like the world. Why is that? Because of the character of God. Notice here there is a mandate for holiness. In verse 15, "But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy." He said you must be. Notice it's not a suggestion, it's a command. God commands us to be holy. Listen, there are folks here and you'd say, "Well, I'd never murder anybody. I would never steal. I would never take God's name in vain because that is a commandment." Well, you're commanded to be holy. Think about it. A slave has to obey his master. If you're an employee, you need to obey. But if you are a son, you want to obey your daddy. And that brings me to the motive for holiness. In verse 14, "So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know when you didn't know any better." This past week, one of our church members told me, said, "You know," said, "Preacher, I had a really bad day at work today." Said, "I almost quit." Said, "But you know what? I didn't quit because my mother raised me better than that." You know what she was saying? She's saying, "You know what? I'm representing my family." You see, the motivation living a holy life is I'm representing my family. And if God is my father, if I live an unholy life, I am misrepresenting my daddy. Talking about representing your daddy, I heard about this Jewish couple, and they got in an argument over what they're going to name their son. And so they went to the local rabbi for advice. And he said, "What seems to be the problem?" The man says, "I want to name our child after my dad. She wants to name our child after her dad." He said, "All right." He looked at the man and said, what was your dad's name?" He said, "Joseph." He looked at her and said, "What was your dad's name?" She said, "Joseph." He said, "What's the problem?" She said, "I'll tell you what the problem is. His daddy was a thief and my daddy was a righteous man." He said, "Well, that's a simple solution. Just name the child Joseph. And when he grows up, however he acts will be who he's named after." Well, let me ask you, if that is true, if somebody looked at how you act, who are you named after? You see, it's not by what we say, it's by what we do. So number one, I must be connected to a holy Lord. And then number two, I must be consumed by a holy love. Notice his love is displayed by the purchase of salvation in verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. I want you to circle that word redeemed. That's not a word that we'd typically use today, but the word redeemed means to purchase. It means to buy back. That means that it used to be yours, now it's not yours, and you're going to buy it back. A.J. Gordon tells a story in his life. A.J. Gordon was a preacher, but he was also a nature lover. He loved birds. Mike loved to watch birds. One day he's walking down the road, and he comes across a little boy. The little boy has a rusty bird cage with some sparrows in it. He looked at that little boy and he said, "Son, where'd you get those birds?" He said, "I trapped them." He said, "You did?" He said, "What are you going to do with them?" He said, "I don't know. I'll take them home. Maybe I'll play with them." He said, "What are you going to do with them after that?" He said, I'll probably kill them. He said, "Son, I'd like to buy those birds." He said, "Mister, why would you want to buy these birds? They're just common field birds." He said, "Son, I'll give you $100. He said, "Mister, you're crazy." He said, "For $100, I'll give you the cage and all." And so he gave him that cage. The little boy took his $100 bill, went skipping down the road. A.J. Gordon went out there in the field and he opened up that old rusty cage. And he said, one by one, those sparrows began to fly out of that cage. And he said, they just soared higher and higher. And as they were soaring higher and higher, they were singing. And he said, it sounded just like they were saying, "Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed." Well, folks, I want you to know there was a time in my life I'd been trapped by the devil. I was in his bondage, and Jesus Christ saw me, saw value in me, and Jesus came along, paid the price. He set me free, and I want to sing today, "Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed." You see, it's not that hard to live a holy life when you're consumed with love for the one who redeemed you. And then secondly, I want you to see his love was displayed by the price of salvation. In verse 19, which is a continuation of the verse we just read, not by silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. I hope you circled the word there, precious blood of Christ. You know, a while ago, as Joe was singing, as the choir was singing, as we talked about and sung about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What makes it precious? Well, it's precious to God. Notice there in 1 Peter 2:4, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by men, chosen by God and precious to him. You see, the blood of Jesus is precious because Jesus is precious. He's precious to God. And if he has purchased you with his blood, he is precious to you. Do you understand that when you live an unholy life, you are trampling upon the blood of Jesus Christ? Have you ever thought about what if the cross that Jesus was crucified on, what if it was still around? Or what if pieces of it were still around? What would it be like to have in your possession the cross that Jesus was crucified on? Or just to have a piece of the wood that the cross was made out of? I don't know about you, but that'd be a holy piece of wood, wouldn't it? Well, can I tell you something? The only reason that wood is holy is because the blood that was shed. You see, what made that ground precious, what made that cross precious, was the blood that was shed is what made it precious. But when I live an unholy life, I trample the blood of Jesus Christ under my feet. You say, how do you get that, preacher? Well, it's right there in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? You see, today we live in a world of cheap grace. That is, I can say a prayer and I can live like a devil. I say, God, forgive me, and live like a devil. When you do that, you trample the blood of Jesus Christ under your feet. In our Easter drama, there is a part. I don't know if everybody understands it, but after Jesus is arrested and after he is scourged or flogged or beating right here, there are several women, including the mother of Jesus in the drama, and they come up with cloths and they start dabbing up the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, that's not them cleaning up a mess. It is a demonstration that the blood of Jesus is precious. They're not cleaning up a mess as they are preserving the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so how can I live a holy life? I got to be connected to a holy Lord, consumed by a holy love. And then lastly, I must commit to live a holy life. Verse 22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so you have sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart. Notice what Peter said. He said, you have purified yourself. Do you understand what that means? That doesn't mean you just come to an altar and pray a prayer and you get up and bam, everything is fixed. That says you purify yourself. That means there's certain things you got to do. You see, Jesus forgives you and makes you a whole. But then what you've got to do is use some certain things you got to do to live a holy life. What are they? Number one, I will remove the barriers to holiness. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. In other words, if you're going to live a holy life, there's some things you got to get rid of. I have a son, and he works out in construction, digging and covering up natural gas lines. Well, guess what? With all this rain that we've been having, he comes home muddy as can be. Well, you know what? When he comes in the house, he got to get rid of that. He got to take it off. There's some things you got to take off when you come to Jesus Christ. But some folks, they just keep on chugging along as if nothing's happened. There's an amazing thing happened in World War II. In 1944, at the Battle of Midway, the United States wiped out the aircraft fleet of the Japanese. They had a battleship that was under construction, and so they said, we're going to convert it into an aircraft carrier. It's going to be the largest in the world. And they did. They said it is unsinkable, and it was called the Shinano. And so this huge ship went out on its maiden voyage, was in the ocean 10 days when it sunk. Never fired its first shot, never flew its first plane. What happened? Well, they're out there and they're sailing along, largest aircraft carrier in World War II. I'm unsinkable. The American torpedoes, they're not that dangerous. And the USS Archer Fisher come across it, fired all 8 of its torpedoes, 6 of them hit the aircraft carrier. But you know what? Hey, we're unsinkable. And so they just kept on at the same course and at the same speed for the next 8 hours until it capsized and sank. You see, what happened was, is nobody thought to go and close the watertight doors and seal off the compartments that had been fired on in all the water. Now, think about it. You know, he's cruising along 30 knots and all that water's just rushing in. Nobody shut the doors. You think, how foolish is that? Well, can I tell you, when you become a child of God, you just don't stay on the same course. You change direction. And there's some airtight doors you need to close. I'm not going to think, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that anymore. And folks, it is foolish to keep on living like you've been living. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 12:14 says it this way. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Make every effort to be holy. Without holiness. Did you ever tell you something? Without living a holy life, you come to church, you won't see God. Without holiness, you won't see God. Can I tell you, if you don't live a holy life during the week, as you're at your job, you're at school, at your home, guess what? You won't see God. And let me tell you something else. If you don't live a holy life, when you die, you're not going to spend forever with God. Why? He is holy, 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 thrice holy. Let me give you an example of what I'm trying to tell you. A four-year-old was in the bathroom. You know, strange things happen when four-year-olds are in the bathroom by themselves. And he came out of there screaming, "Mama, Mama, Mama, come here." She come running in there. Said, "What's wrong, son?" He said, "I dropped my toothbrush in the potty." So she fishes out the toothbrush and she said, "Now, son, this toothbrush is now dirty. It's nasty. It can never be used again. And so we're throwing it in the trash can." And he looked at her and said, "Wow." And he ran out of the bathroom. And he come back and he's got another toothbrush. And it's his mother's. She said, "What are you doing with my toothbrush?" He said, "Mom, this toothbrush is not any good. We need to throw it away." She said, "Why is that?" He said, "On the potty yesterday." How many of you would like to use that toothbrush? Would you understand that when you go out tomorrow and you choose to live an unholy life, just as that toothbrush is deplorable to us, repulsive to us, then sin should be repulsive to a redeemed again child of God. But you know what we do? We dress it up and we make excuses for it. Listen, you got to get rid of some things in your life. But not only that, you have to replace it with some things. And that is, I will resolve to feed on the Word of God. In verse 2, it says, like newborn babies craves pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. You see, you not only just need to put bad things out of your life, you need to put good things in your life. You need to feed your mind. You need to feed your soul. You need to feed your spirit with the Word of God. You see, in computer programming, there's a saying. It says, garbage in, garbage out. And so you got to get rid of the garbage, but guess what? You got to put good stuff in. You got to program your mind with the Word of God. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you this past week read your Bible every day? How many of you had a quiet time every day? How many folks in this room, you won't even stay for 45 minutes after the church service is over for a Sunday school class to study the Bible? On Sunday, the Lord's Day, you won't even stay 45 minutes to study the Bible. Let me ask those of you who's going to stay and study in Sunday school, how many of you actually read the lesson before you came today? You got a quarterly, you carried around, but guess what? You don't have a clue what the lesson's even about today. You've got the book, you got your Bible, but you hadn't prepared. And we wonder why we don't grow up in our salvation. We wonder why glory doesn't come down and fill our soul. It's because we are famished spiritually because we're not feeding our soul the Word of God. And then the last thing I want to share with you is I will recognize the brevity of life. If you're going to live a holy life, you got to realize that right now is the time to do it. Because life is short, my friend. In verse 24 it says, for all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. I don't know, it's probably been 8 or 9 years ago I preached a series called 24, and I used a metaphor that many folks have remembered, but some of you weren't here back then, so I want to use it again today. In the book of Psalms, chapter 90, it says, Lord, teach us to number our days. It says, what is a man's life? 70 years, and if by strength, maybe 80. Now, folks, that was written 3,000 years ago. And what did the Word say 3,000 years ago? That man will live to be 70 to 80 years of age. 3,000 years ago. In America, with our modern science and modern medicine, let me tell you what the average life expectancy in America is, 76.8 years. It's amazing. 3,000 years later, with all of our medicine, the average life expectancy is still what God said it would be. So, as I was going over this passage several years ago, I took a jar and I filled it up with 70 marbles. And here's what I said. If you want to understand the brevity of life, you fill up one of these jars with 70 marbles, and every time you have a birthday, you just open it up, go to the pond, take one of those marbles, and throw it away. You do that every year. Folks, that's all I got left in my jar.
Oh, Lord.
Yesterday, I was helping my son do something. And him and his wife were expecting their first child, which would be our first grandchild. He said, "Dad, are you excited about being a grandpa?" I said, "Yeah, son, I didn't think I'd ever live long enough to be one." See, my mama died at 40. My dad died at 67. That's an average of 53. I was 32 when he was born. I figured if he waited as long as I did, at 64, I'd be dead 11 years if I lived out the average of my parents' life. I said, "Yeah, I'm excited about it." But folks, I want you to know, it just seemed like yesterday I brought him home as a little baby about this big. Now he's 6 feet tall, infecting a child of his own. Can I tell you, life is just like the grass. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. I was talking to David Badger yesterday, and I asked him, I said, "How's your wife doing?" She recently buried her dad, and she said, "Well," she just told me, she said, "I knew this day was coming, but I didn't know it was going to be here this soon." This past week, I went by to see Chris Hendricks. His dad passed away this past Wednesday. The funeral's this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Jerry, his dad, had been diagnosed with cancer. Chris said, "Go by and talk to him." I went by, and he trusted Jesus Christ. He said, "Preacher, I'll be at church Sunday if I'm able." He wasn't able. He went in the hospital. He came out of the hospital and went to the hospice house in Dallas. He got there at 12 o'clock on Wednesday, and before 5 o'clock, he was dead. Can I tell you what happened? Chris was there with him. He got his dad up, took him to the bathroom, and then helped him get up, get back into bed. And less than 30 minutes, his dad was gone. Folks, it can happen that quick. And when you realize the brevity of life, you understand why it's so important to live a life that's real, that's authentic, that is holy, because you and I don't know when God might call us. We might be going down the road after church, healthy as can be, in a drunk, cross that center line, and we're in the presence of God right then. Listen, when you leave this world and you stand before God, you're going to have clean hands. You're going to have a clean heart. You want to have a clean slate. You want to live a holy life. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Nobody's looking around. I believe the number one tool of the devil is procrastination. Put it off to a better day. That's why I say recognize the brevity of life. The best time to be right with God is right now. The best time to be committed to God is right now. Some of you have been waiting for a better day. You've been waiting on your spouse. You've been waiting on your family. You've been waiting on till you get certain things out of the way. I want to challenge you to get up out of your seat in a moment. Come to this altar and say, "God, I want to be consumed by a holy love. You have redeemed me. You have saved me. And I want to live as a child of the King. I want to live like a prince. I want to live like a princess. I'm not going to live like the world. I'm not going to dress like them. I'm not going to think like them. I'm not going to act like them. God, I want to be like Jesus." Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to pray this morning that for someone that is here. They've been trying to live a good life. God, that they would see and understand they can't do it in their own strength and their own power. They have to have Jesus Christ living in them. Lord, if there's somebody here today that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, may they come today and receive Him and trust Him. Lord, many in this room have already done that. But God, help us to commit today to live a holy, sanctified, separated life, that when people look at us, we'll be remembered. We'll be known for somebody that's authentic, somebody that's real, somebody that walks the walk and not just talk the talk. Lead us now, God, as we make our decisions and our commitments. May we not put it off another day, but God, may we do it today. In Jesus' name, amen.